collegiately speaking.
Walks into the end zone. Punches to the end zone.
This is Collegiately Speaking. With the voice of Northwestern football and basketball, Dave Enning, and former Northwestern star quarterback, Dan Persa. It's Collegiately Speaking. Let's go.
And welcome to another edition of Collegiately Speaking from WGNRadio.com. Dave Enning, joined by former Northwestern quarterback, Dan Persa. Saturday, the Wildcats got their first Big Ten win of the year, knocking off the UCLA Bruins 17-14 in a game which looked like it was going to be a blowout in favor of the Cats, ended up being a nail biter. But I looked over at my partner, Dan Persa, during the broadcast a couple of times, and Dan, you were cool, calm, collected, never had a doubt.
I don't know about that, but always great to get a win.
Well, it was interesting the way that game unfolded because Northwestern was really dominating, especially the early part of the game with the ground attack, with a nice mix of some big throws from Preston Stone, and they're up 17-0. And then right before the half, UCLA, which hadn't done a whole lot offensively, goes down and kicks a field goal the last play of the half to make it 17-3. And you still think, well, okay, you're going to get the ball first in the third quarter. You're up by two touchdowns. You've pretty much dominated much of the half, so you got to feel pretty good about it, right? And then, of course, we saw what happened.
Yeah, you know, I think it's really a testament to, you know, teams having to be really strong in the red zone and tight zone, right? So if you don't convert, and specifically if you don't score touchdowns, and you keep teams around, especially talented ones like UCLA, that can happen. Obviously, the Northwestern offense got a little cold in the second half, changed the game plan a little bit, which I didn't love. But when you have long drives and you only come up with, you know, field goal attempts and then block field goals, things can turn pretty quickly. But, you know, credit to the Northwestern defense for, again, standing on its head and making a huge stop at the end. I think we talked about it a little bit on the broadcast. You know, that last drive in the second half, you know, you're not going to expect Coach McGargo to be super aggressive. And if they get out of there with a field goal, it's not the end of the world. But, you know, again, credit to him for making that adjustment in the fourth quarter when they needed a stop and they everyone felt that if this went to overtime, it could be a problem for Northwestern. So Coach McGargo dialed up some pressure, you know, safety blitzes, you know, early in the downs, and then a safety blitz at the end as well to get the ball out of Nico's hand, and it worked out. So credit to him and the defense for sealing the win.
You know, one thing that I think kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit, the way that game ended, was the next to last series, the UCLA had the ball, and the punt by Luke Akers that pinned them back on their own 6 or 7 yard line. And then the defense came up with a 3-and-out because they needed a big kick right there. They were unable to sustain that drive. And look, that turned out to be a real key point in the game because there was plenty of time left at that point for UCLA, but the poor field position just kind of kept them from doing anything.
Yeah, that's a great point. And as we talked about again on the broadcast, right? You know, UCLA continued to extend the game. They punted with three timeouts left, which is I think was the right call to give them an opportunity after Northwestern, you know, failed to seal the game. Again, you know, when Northwestern got the ball back, you'd want to see him kind of finish the game, right? So some of the play calling again, I didn't love, especially on third down with like a normal drop back pass. Typically in those situations, you want to get, you know, a relatively athletic quarterback in Preston Stone on the edge and give him kind of a run pass option, especially when, you know, the defense is expecting run. But yeah, you know, credit to Luke Akers, two good punts. You know, the second one, the punt returner kind of faked out the gunners and let it get in the end zone. So they had a little bit better field position. But, you know, look, the defense is the strength of this team. And if, as we talked about, if Preston and the offense doesn't turn the ball over, they're going to be in every game, and especially in the fourth quarter. So I think we're seeing a new recipe for the team the rest of the season. You know, hard downhill running game, safe passes for Preston, and keeping extending the game to the fourth quarter and giving the Cats a chance to win.
Yeah, it was nice to see a turnover-free game, pretty clean game. And that included, for the most part, from a penalty standpoint, UCLA had their share of penalties, and Preston Stone, as a former quarterback, it's going to make you wince, Dan, to see the pounding he got on some questionable hits, one of them which was confirmed as targeting, apparently came out of it okay. So it doesn't make you long for the days you were playing that position.
Yeah, you got to be. I mean, as a competitor, right? I understand what these kids are going through, and you want to show your teammates that you're tough and make hard runs. But at the same time, like you need to understand that you have to be available, right? And if you there's no sense in taking hard hits if you're out of the game. The first one was in the pocket. Hard to do anything about that. But a couple other ones where he's kind of diving head first when he already has the first down. You got to be a little bit more smart. But again, you know, you got to credit them for showing heart. But yeah, to your point, stay available. Don't take stupid hits, especially when they're not necessary.
And joining us now on Collegiately Speaking, number 65 of the Wildcats, starting center at a Glenbrook North High School, Jackson Carcello. Jackson, Dave Ennett, and Dan Percy here. Thanks for joining us. How you doing?
Morning, guys. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm doing great. It's a great day. How you guys doing?
We're doing fine. Doing fine. You've started 12 straight games now at center for the Wildcats, and you're playing roughly, by my estimation, about, 10, 11 miles from where you played your high school football. What's that experience been like for you?
It's truly been an incredible experience. I grew up coming to Northwestern games, so it's really a dream come true getting the chance to play here in the Purple for Wildcats. And it's just also a truly amazing opportunity because I've got the with my community back home so close, it's really get a great sense of having the people come out, you know, friends, family, neighbors, just people from Northbrook just come out and support me. And it's truly been an amazing experience.
When you went to games as a kid, who was your favorite player?
Well, that's always tough. I feel like I went a lot when Trevor Siemian was there back in the mid 2010s. So that was always a blast to see. And then watching him go to the Broncos too. After that was a lot of fun. So it was just a great time.
See, I was counting on you to say Dan Persa, but I think you're a little young for that.
Yeah, I'm too old.
Sorry, Dan. I apologize.
All good. Jackson, thanks again for joining us. You know, obviously the offensive line has been a really pleasant surprise, but it's probably not a surprise to you guys given the influx of transfers and talent that you already had and obviously the coach that you have in Coach O'Boyle. But maybe talk about your mentality in the offseason and what's led to all your success this year so far.
You know, coming to this offseason, you know, we kind of had a bad taste in our mouths with the way we finished off last year. You know, we thought we were going to just have more success out there on the field. And, you know, I think we had a lot of great glimpses of greatness about the potential of this group. And, you know, we all kind of went into the offseason, myself included, and we really dove in. We knew that, you know, to compete in the Big Ten, you got to be big, fast, strong. And we all kind of went into that mentality, working to get us our biggest selves, our fastest selves, and our strongest selves over this offseason. And we really dove into it. You know, we got a pretty senior group, you know, myself, and Caleb Tiernan have been here a long time. So we've really dove in with Deuce McGuire, Nick Herzog, obviously the transfers, you know, we got Jack Bailey when Evan Bearson came in, Xavier Gray, you know, Mo as well. You know, we all just really dove in. We put in that extra work and we just try to build a group together, you know, not just on the field stuff, but what's important about the offensive line is you really got to work as a unit, as one. So we spent a lot of time together this offseason as well. You know, we went bowling, we went out to dinner as much as we could. We just tried our best to get together to grow tighter as a group and just improve ourselves on the field as well.
Yeah, for sure. That's clearly played or paid a lot of dividends. Maybe talk about, you know, the running back room, because outside of the offensive line is a strength. I think, you know, the running back room has been a huge strength for the Northwestern team. Obviously losing Cam has been tough. But Caleb Komolafe and Joe Hyman are really talented guys too. So maybe talk a little bit about their success and your camaraderie with them.
Definitely. You know, it's a huge loss losing a guy like Cam Porter. The guy runs like a freight train. He's a role model to every single person on the team. You know, that's a big hit, you know, on the playing field, but then also emotionally with other guys losing a leader like that. But, you know, Caleb Komolafe and Joe Hyman, those guys have stepped up. They, you know, we knew it was going to be kind of a running back by committee system going into the year. those guys play their absolute butts off. You know, you got deadly speed, you got strength with both those guys, and they're really just both well-rounded backs. They can catch the ball, they can run hard between the tackles, you know, out in space. You know, they're truly a really great combo, and I love getting a block for those guys because you know they're going to fight for extra yards, and they've got the speed to break anything if they get the chance.
Visiting with Jackson Carcello, starting center on that offensive line for the Northwestern Wildcats, working with quarterback Preston Stone for the first season. Jackson, and you guys primarily are working out of the shotgun, but also a couple times on Saturday where Preston's under center. From your standpoint at this point, because you've been playing this position for so long, is that pretty much second nature, or do you have to make a slight adjustment when you go from snapping directly to the quarterback to going to the shotgun?
It really does become second nature over time. There's always going to be a slight adjustment, you know, especially with him being that close to you as a center, of course. But you know, it's really become second nature. Preston and I have gotten really close this past offseason, so we've done a lot of work just in snaps and just taking different footwork. So he and I have gotten kind of a rhythm together. So again, it is second nature, but you know, there is always a little bit of adjustment going from gun to under center, as there always is.
Well, before we let you go, I want to try to play a little word association with you. And I'm just going to give you the name of a teammate. I just want you to give us the first word that are you up for this? You game for this?
Let's do it. I'm excited.
All right. Let's look at your offensive line. Evan Berenson.
Funny.
Martez Lewis.
Just good character guy.
Deuce McGuire.
I just think Big D. That's what we call him. You know, I mean, he's baseball, the baseball fan. So that's just what comes to my mind.
That works. Mo Radakai.
Strong as a bull.
Okay, and of course, last but certainly not least, your roomie Caleb Chernin.
Yeah, I think leader. You know, he's really stepped up in that leadership role. So leader of the offensive line here.
All right. I won't ask you to play with your offensive line coach, Bill O'Boyle. I'll leave that for another time that you join us. But listen, we appreciate your time. It's been fun watching the development of this O-line, and looking forward to big things Saturday. Homecoming, I know that's always a big event. So thanks for joining. How many people are you going to have at the game Saturday?
We'll see. You know, my folks live close by. I got two sisters as well, so those guys will always be there. We'll see who else mom has tag along. She always likes to bring half the town. So it'll be a good group up in the stands.
I always see a lot of number 65 jerseys roaming around at Northwestern Medicine Field. Thanks for the time. Fantastic. We appreciate it. Good luck on Saturday, and we'll catch you down the road.
Dan, Dave, thank you guys so much for having. You guys have a great day.
You too.
Thanks, Jackson.
Thanks, Jackson.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
All right, nice to visit with Jackson. And really, Dan, again, that offensive line, I think, has really been a bright spot in the results. I mean, you look at this team averaging upwards of they got just under 200 rushing yards on Saturday against UCLA. But they're going to face a different kind of challenge this week. Louisiana Monroe, and I know when people saw that on the schedule that it's homecoming, they'd think, well, okay, that looks like an easy win. This team is not necessarily any kind of a pushover coming in here to Evanston on Saturday.
Agreed, and I think as we've talked about in the past, Coach Braun isn't one to underestimate teams, especially, you know, lower level conference teams. The Sun Belt, it's a great conference. They have great competition across the board, and UL Monroe is no different, right? So I hope Northwestern continues to lean upon this new blueprint, especially with what you think is a little bit of a less physical team than they'll see in the Big Ten. But yeah, you know, they got to keep it rolling. There'll be a great crowd there. Should be a great day. But I don't expect anything different. And every team, every Northwestern team, and every college football team is different from year to year. And credit to Coach Braun, and he talked about this with you before the game of understanding that they need to find out who they are and what their blueprint is. And as we just talked about, I think it's going to be running the ball, playing great defense, and asking Preston to make plays when needed. So I wouldn't stray from that game plan, regardless of who you're playing.
Louisiana Monroe's only allowing 84 yards a game on the ground, and they're rushing for 213. So a little bit different kind of a team they're going to play this week. However, teams are throwing for about 280 yards a game against them. So maybe this is a game where they're going to need to rely on that passing game a little bit more. It's a 2:30 kickoff again on Saturday. Dan is going to join us again on the broadcast here as my regular partner, Ted Albrecht, is off celebrating the 50th anniversary of his team, which won a Pac-8 championship at Cal in 1975. We'll talk more about that Saturday. Dan, have a great week. We'll see you at Northwestern Medicine Field Saturday afternoon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Dave.
And that's going to do it for this week's edition of Collegiately Speaking. Many thanks to our producer, Jack Heinrich, and to Jackson Carcello for joining us again. 2:00 Saturday on WGN, the Wildcats and Louisiana Monroe from sold-out Northwestern Medicine Field. Now I'm Dave Ennett, and we'll talk to you again next week.